If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another live edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Billy Embody. With me is Ben Garrett. We've got Lane Kiffin press conference updates, as well as more injury updates from Lane Kiffin and more Ole Miss recruiting talk on this live edition of Talk of Champions, which starts right now.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss podcast powered by Riverland Roofing and featuring Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of Rebel Grove.
That is right. It is Labor Day Monday coming at you on Talk of Champions. I'm Billy Embody. With me, Ben Garrett, who is in the Riverland Roofing Studio in Oxford. And getting some time in there. Man, I see an old school cooler in there. I'm sure there's something cold to drink, knowing the guys at Riverland who like to work hard, play hard, and take care of your roofing needs, as well as in the commercial space, you know, home and in that commercial space. It's something Billy Landis and his crew doing a great job recently. Want to shout them out, 662-644-4297. You can call or text. You know, sometimes don't want to chat on the phone. It's been a long day at work already. We'll drop them a text around lunch or something, and they'll get back to you and schedule a real appointment to talk about your roofing needs. So, Ben, nice studio. Love it.
I love it. It's comfortable here. It's weird because it is Labor Day, so Billy and Carson and Elijah, all of them, Parker Caracy, who works for Riverland, All-American Ole Miss closer, no one is here but me sitting in the Riverland Roofing Studios coming to you on Labor Day after Ole Miss held a walkthrough. And then, of course, Lane Kiffin had his press conference this afternoon where we asked about, tried to ask about not necessarily injury stuff, but update stuff because he doesn't disclose injury information. But it is an SEC game week, Ole Miss playing Kentucky on Saturday at 2:30. So an injury report will come out at some point this week. For now, though, we only know a little bit about Jalen Braxton, about Luke Haas, and we're going to get to all of it, including some recruiting news, because I know the visitor list that we released on the Ole Miss Spirit, not Ole Miss Spirit, Rebel Groves. Golly, I did it again, Bill. I did it again at Rebel Grove.
Hey, decade, man. You're fine.
Sign up for $1. We released that list in advance of the Georgia State game on Friday. The notable visitor, of course, the headlining visitor, LSU commit Emmanuel Tucker, who came into town, we confirmed, and Ole Miss is not giving up, and I've got an update on that, and Bill's got all the other stuff too, because a big list, it wasn't just him, it was many four stars that were in town for a 63-7 win for Ole Miss to open the year over Georgia State. So yes, while the rest of you are kicked back relaxing on Labor Day, maybe you're by the pool, maybe you're having a picnic somewhere in a park, Billy and I are grinding on Talk of Champions, and we thank Riverland Roofing for providing, at least for me, the housing necessary to bring you the latest from Ole Miss football.
And let's get into Lane Kiffin's press conference. Of course, Sunday night, had quite the interesting press conference on Zoom to kind of put a bow on it. Let's lead off there, Ben, because this heist at the Vought is getting a little bit of attention, I would say.
Maybe the Twitter video, if you haven't already, they got to see this if you can find it, Bill. because it's nuts.
The heist at Vought, Gayshon Womack pregame, basically, long story short, gets a chain ripped off and tossed into the seat. So, you know, somebody found it eventually. It was broken, but man, Lane Kiffin over there playing arbitrator, mediator. Give us the background on this.
Well, it kind of started, this whole story began to emerge on the Rebel Grove message board. So if you haven't already, please subscribe for $1. We saw this and kind of got word about this bizarre event pregame where, like you said, an Ole Miss football player, they're walking in from the Walk of Champions. They conclude their walk into Vaught-Hemingway Stadium and walk up their home sidelines into the tunnel, into the locker room. So they're on the sidelines, and a player had his chain ripped off. Now, there's some rumors that a towel was stolen by some of a Georgia State player, potentially, but it was originally reported by ESPN, at least, to be Xavier Harris, the 6'8 monster who had an interception and broke the basketball goal in celebration afterwards on the sideline in Ole Miss's 63-7 win over Georgia State. It wasn't him. Like we reported on Rebel Grove, it was Dayshon Womack, the LSU transfer. And I thought the coolest part about it, listening to Lane and talking to Lane about this incident last night, was Dayshon didn't want to press charges because police officers were included in this. They came onto the scene. They were there. They were escorting the team in. So you've got officers and Lane Kiffin, who's, red-faced, angry about the situation, rightfully so. But Dayshon Womack says, no, I don't want to press charges. I just want to let the kid play. Now, Del McGee did not let him play. Georgia State head coach in his second year, he benched him because of this incident. But Dayshon just wanted to let the scoreboard speak for itself. He did get his chain back. Unfortunately, like Bill said, it was broken. But ultimately, the chain that got truly snatched, even though it was more metaphorical, was the 63-7 chain to get Ole Miss started right. Even though it was a little hairy to start, that including this bizarre pregame incident, Ole Miss came out with a big win, and all things are right with the world on Monday. But yeah, a bizarre, bizarre kind of start to the season for Ole Miss. And again, could have been the rumors about the towel getting swiped by Georgia State. I feel like ripping a chain is a lot more personal and a little bit more egregious, but that's neither here nor there. All parties seem to have put it behind them, and because at the end of the day, Ole Miss whipped Georgia State, even though there were some ups and downs, and the player you're watching on your screen right now didn't play. And I think he was like a projected, at least rotational piece, if not starter. So, and Austin Simmons going on his Instagram story and, making a joke about that player in particular and that incident after the game, after the win, kind of spoke to how Ole Miss viewed it. Hey, man, you don't want to give a team that you're already like 40-point underdogs to even more motivation to go and absolutely beat the brakes off of you. And Ole Miss, while it was 17-7, at one point it was almost 7-3. It wasn't great to start. That game ended up being what it needed to be, and Dayshon Womack, like Lane Kiffin said, was the defensive player of that game. So a bizarre incident, but Bill, what a way to kick it off, right? College football is back. Add it to the pile of college football fun nuggets from week one, and there were so many, and Ole Miss, at least was on the right end of some of that stuff, including a really, really weird incident. But, man, talk about chaos to start. That was wild.
Yeah, it was. It really is something that you kind of normally see. I wouldn't say normally. I've never seen a chain ripped off and thrown.
Never seen that one.
Never seen that in the SEC. But it would be something more along the lines of an SEC type of rivalry, chirping, type of altercation that you might see pregame from time to time. But look, always the first for everything. And for Ole Miss, this is now their first win of the season, of course. They get Austin Simmons into the mix right away. Multiple passes in a row. I think it was, three straight. I could be wrong at minimum as he got rolling. And it didn't take long for them to open the scoring with Daquan Wright catching that touchdown pass. We've rehashed the game a lot at rebelgrove.com. Like Ben said, sign up for just $1 and get a special deal with The Athletic as well. But this is a team that I felt like, did a lot of good things on Saturday. They clearly were athletically better than Georgia State. They clearly were able to do whatever they wanted for the most part. A couple times, Austin Simmons got pressured. That resulted in a pick. He threw a really bad interception in the red zone, which Lane addressed. But I think, the run game with Kewon Lacy being so dynamic, forcing missed tackles, those are things that can translate a little bit in the SEC, but they can also allow them to just kind of build their confidence in that run game and allowing Kiwon Lacy to be able to make those moves. He won't have I think he had the second most forced missed tackles in the country over the course of week one, which does wind down tonight with TCU and North Carolina. I'd love to get your pick on that here in a bit, Ben. But for Kiwon Lacy, this is exactly what Ole Miss thought they were getting in this running back from Missouri. And, you know, I think Lane Kiffin has really not shied away from, you know, talking about as he's seen more and more from Kiwon Lacy, he's not shied away from putting more expectations on him. And at the same time, talking about how they really missed that last year. And he, I almost sense a little bit of regret as far as how the running back room played out last year. But, you know, this offensive line clicks, that was kind of the big question mark leaving the game as far as what the offensive line was going to be for Ole Miss, you know, moving forward as you get into SEC play. And game ones for me are a bunch of data points and starting points to evaluate a team from, and then you see what the trends are. So the big question this week, we're going to find out really quickly, is that Ole Miss offensive line that had some misassignments, had some plays where you're kind of shaking your head against the front of Georgia State's that you're just wondering, okay, is this what they're going to have to deal with in SEC play? Is that going to be the norm, or is it going to be something that is a blip on the radar? And Lane Kiffin said, you know, he thought they played well, but, you know, they have some things to clean up in certain areas for sure. And then the defense pretty much did their thing the entire night. You know, that was an impressive run for them for the most part. So Ole Miss explodes. They get the win. And Lane Kiffin did have some key injury updates on Monday as well, Ben. Jalen Braxton and Luke Haas kind of were discussed as well. But we got a question in the chat from Douglas Sherman, so we appreciate you chiming in, whether you're on Twitter or YouTube. Is Cedric Beaver still on the team? And yes, he is still listed on the roster. But as far as Saturday night's game, let's see if I can find him here.
I can tell you he was on that participation chart. I actually got an answer about Cedric Beavers not too long ago. I mean, he's really dealing with an injury. He's been dealing with it all fall camp. He was one of the two starters at cornerback coming out of the spring. Now that room changed significantly over the course of the offseason. After the spring, Ricky Fletcher was added. He started on Saturday alongside Antonio Kite, who signed in December or January, but didn't get here until later. So he didn't get that full spring compliment that others did. Jalen Braxton, you mentioned him. I'm the one that asked about Jalen today, mainly because he wasn't on that participation chart. Dante Core wasn't on that participation chart. We didn't ask about Dante, but Jalen's, it was a medical issue is what Lane said. I just wanted to make sure because that has been his biggest question mark. I mean, he finally got to Jalen Braxton back on the field in fall camp and was able to practice after dealing with durability issues ever since his freshman All-American year in 2023 with Arkansas. It's been a battle for him to stay on the field. So obviously it's noteworthy. Obviously it's newsworthy. He's not on the field because of a medical issue. Now, Lane doesn't delve into injury news. Didn't mention when he could be back. Just hope to have him back soon. There will be an injury report this week, but really just wanted some clarity on that because Jalen Braxton had been coming on and looking like a player they could really rely upon. He was listed as the or on the depth chart, Jalen Braxton or Ricky Fletcher, but it was Ricky Fletcher who started, and it kind of fell in line with how he played in fall camp the last handful of weeks specifically. So, I mean, I think he was tracking to start. He was going to step in and be that guy opposite not Ricky Fletcher, but Antonio Kite, who was a mainstay all in fall camp. But as far as Cedric Beavers, they just got to get him healthy. I mean, just fully healthy. He's playing. He got a little bit of run against Georgia State, but he's not where he was yet, and he had a really good spring. He's the fastest player on the team. Ask anybody about that, they'll say the same thing. He has some real elite-level skills that Ole Miss can utilize in some way, and I feel like he's more or less just getting, you know, his feet back under him. As far as what Jalen's asking about Andrew Jones, the linebacker, I don't know. I know he was on the participation chart, but, yeah, I mean, I think it says less about Andrew Jones and more about TJ Dowdery's not coming out of the game. So just remember that. And he wasn't the only, you know, he's the highest grade of the transfers they added is Andrew Jones from Grambling. But Jaden Yates and Taj Chambers just have had amazing, amazing runs and practices both in spring and on into fall camp. Jaden Yates actually got the start over Taj Chambers, the Missouri State transfer, And this was the Sun Belt leader in tackles last year, Jaden Yates. And Taj Chambers was like the cream of fall camp. Everybody was talking about him. He was the man in fall camp. He'd added 20 pounds, was weighing 235, was flying around, but it speaks less about did he do something wrong? No. Jaden Yates was just that much better, and it showed. It should make you – it's a confidence thing for me if you're an Ole Miss fan. I mean, to have those kind of options are great. Because T.J. Dottery, unless he's injured, God bless him. Hopefully it never happens because you never wish that for anybody. He's not leaving the field. Neither is Santarin Perkins, right? Those guys are going to play as many snaps as they can physically handle. It's really about that other spot. And Jaden Yates was really, really good. And that's Pete Golding's position groups. It's less about Andrew Jones than, I mean, he's a good player. It's just those other guys, who's he going to take the snaps from, right? And it could happen toward the, I mean, they're going to need him. And special teams is the third phase that everybody, doesn't appreciate enough but matters. He's playing on that. Ole Miss actually had a really good – I was looking at their coverage team on their first ever kickoff. It's pretty salty compared to other years, man, because they do have some real depth, at least guys that you can get. Well, if Jaden Yates is that good, what about Andrew Jones? Well, he's going to be contributing to winning, and don't discount him, what he's going to contribute as a linebacker as the season goes on. It was just a season opener, and that is the highest graded transfer Ole Miss signed. But you also – he's competing with the Sun Belt leading tackler last year – and a guy in Taj Chambers who had a breakout year as a linebacker, is converted wide receiver at Missouri State, and everybody has been talking about since he got here. So it's less about that, I think, the injury thing, than just those guys have been really, really good for them.
Yeah, and just to clarify, Andrew Jones was on the participation report, but did not play on there.
There you go.
He was out. So and I think that does speak to the depth of the linebacker room. You know, Tyler Banks is a big leader on this team. He's going to play a bunch of snaps. This is a group that, based on the transfers that you add in there, as well as T.J. Dottery, they're just not a lot of snaps to go around. I mean, just right. Jacoby Hobson didn't play either. So there's a lot going on with that linebacker room as far as depth and working out that rotation for Pete Golding. With Chris Kiffin probably running the show down on the sidelines and things like that.
Well, here's the thing, Bill. If you're an Ole Miss fan, you're not used to this. You're not used to depth at linebacker.
They're just having to roll two and go.
Yeah, I mean, they have real depth, and that's Pete Golding's group, man, and he has done a great job building it out. I think I see the vision as far as when Pete said he didn't expect much drop off, at least with the front seven from last year's record-setting group, because, while it's not – Walter Nolan, as far as his resume before he even came to Ole Miss, or Princely Umon Mielen, they've got a lot of guys who have something to prove, and from just raw elite traits, they're just oozing with them. And there's so much to like about what this defense can be. Now there's probably going to be more volatility because you don't have the same kind of proven names yet, but Jaden Yates is not going to – I mean, he was their second leading tackler on Saturday, and right. That's the guy that, again – was not getting the same shine as Taj Chambers in fall camp. And that's alongside of T.J. Dottery, who, man, when he told me in the preseason long ago, he's like, Ben, I'm going for the Butkus Award. I didn't, roll my eyes or anything because, yeah, he's one of the best linebackers in the SEC. But just like, well, of course you say that. Man, he looks like he's ready to contend for whatever award is available to him. Right, Bill? I mean, he led Ole Miss in tackles. He's got the green dot. He's a leader for this team. After Georgia State, he said, I'm ready to move on to Kentucky. I've already moved on to Kentucky, right? He said, right now, I'm ready to go because that game left such a sour taste in my mouth. And from sitting with him and knowing pretty well, I know it did. Like, he will bring it up himself. Like, it really bothered him at a visceral level, and it still sits at it. So this weekend against Kentucky, it means a lot for them. And I think Ole Miss is in a better place. 63-7 is 63-7, right? At the end of the day, 63-7, you can't not appreciate it as an Ole Miss fan. And yes, there are some nits to pick, including some interior offensive line play. But I think Ole Miss really liked some of what they saw from that offensive line, even considering that they did have some lapses, because guys like Patrick Kudus haven't practiced, haven't played. So just to get back out there, you're going to have some lumps. I think they're still in a wait and see there. They're in a lot better place than even some are giving them credit for. And when you look around college football, Bill, it is wide ass open. And, there's no denying Ole Miss's, qualifications or potential resume compared to anybody else. I think they've got real talent, and it's still just Georgia State, and you got to play Kentucky this weekend, and you got to exercise some demons, but a good place for week one after week one.
And for Lane Kiffin, in this day and age of the transfer portal and everything, this is why you can reload and kind of go for it each year. And they've found the ways to do that. We've seen it. It's been proven that they're going to be in the upper half to the top quarter or whatever, however many SEC teams there are now, really top third of the SEC.
And I asked Lane specifically about that. I said, week one results. He said, I don't have a lot of thoughts on that. And then gave probably his longest quote of the whole press conference and talked about not, you know, Florida State beating Alabama, not picking up particular teams, but like you're saying, the parity now, like with the transfer portal, a team that was 2-10 in Florida State last year can go get the quarterback from Boston College and go beat Alabama in 2025. Yes, it's a different world. And that parity is very real. And, like, I don't think there are necessarily any great teams in college football. Ole Miss could be one of those that become great. Somebody's going to become great. Somebody or enough are going to become good enough, great to be playoff teams and national championship contenders. And when you look at the field right now, Ole Miss has just as much a case as anybody.
Yeah. And as they get going into this SEC schedule, you know, this is where you need your offensive line to be at its best. And we did drop last week on the board that, you know, maybe they're getting healthier. Delano Townsend, maybe close to returning. We'll see.
Big.
Probably, yeah, just, you know, if you look at the guard position, PJ Wilkins and Patrick Kudus, you know, those were the guys that mainly got the burn there. Not the most inspiring performance, but again, more often than not, they were fine. Again, that's where the context of Georgia State comes into play, and that's where it makes it difficult to evaluate. But there are teams that, you know, Ole Miss kept their foot on the gas for a long, long time in that game. They were rolling there with the passing attack and getting that timing queued up, which I thought, you know, is an underrated, because you can't, Trinidad Chambliss came in and did some good things. I don't think you can have him be your starting quarterback and be successful. So there's like the walking line of like keeping Austin as late in the game as they did in there and having him rip it. I think it spoke to how they really wanted to get this timing queued up. But I'll say, man, like they were cruising, you know, offensively. I was really impressed. I said this on the board. What was I most surprised about? It was Austin Simmons in a way. You know, he was hyped up in a way locally. This is the handpicked guy of Lane Kiffin, and rightfully so. They would have gone out and got somebody else if they would have thought that he couldn't have done this. You know, they had plenty of time to do it. But to see it be so smooth, save for that one interception that was really ugly, that at least going up to Lexington made me feel a lot better if I was an Ole Miss fan.
Ole Miss fans, football is back, and there's only one place to make picks and win money all season long: Underdog. Playing on Underdog is easy. Simply pick whether your favorite players in any sport will go higher or lower on stats. For Ole Miss, that's touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Think Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons will go over or under 2.5 passing touchdowns in his debut against Georgia State? I'm thinking he gets at least 3 in a Rebel route to start the 2025-26 campaign. Could Ole Miss great and Philadelphia Eagle A.J. Brown go over 0.5 combined rushing and receiving touchdowns in the NFL opener against the Dallas Cowboys? Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See UnderdogFantasy.com for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You know what I mean? Like that.
I'm with you, because here's the thing. Like, as ugly as those picks were, and too uncomfortable as it was in the first two quarters, they clicked in the third. The timing started to make sense. Austin, he's starting for the first time. And then you get to the end of the weekend and we don't micromanage or at least like look at our, you pick apart the team that we're around and follow and cover and cheer for, whatever it might be. Like we're picking Ole Miss apart at the end of the weekend. He's second in the SEC in passing yards, you know, like all the data points, like you said, lined up exactly as you'd hope they would, 20 for 31. Do you take a couple of series, bad series, which were an arguably bad series against a team that was 3-9 last year, and say, well, if he does that against Kentucky, well, of course, if he does that against Kentucky, it's going to be what it doesn't need to be. And this weekend, they need to win and win convincingly. But Kentucky, Lane made the point today, Kentucky always plays Ole Miss tough under Lane. It's crazy. Like it's been like a one score series so far. But like this weekend, they need to go and put their best foot forward. And of course, Austin needs to protect the football. But just as much as you can pick apart those couple of possessions, and Patrick Kudus had some plays where, man, he was a revolving door. That third quarter was about which, if they'd come out looking like that, you would have not had these same gripes.
Yeah.
Right. Like at that point, it's 31-7 at halftime. It just turned into 31-7 midway through the third because a lot of new, including Austin Simmons, Harrison Walsh, Design Stribling didn't get involved until the second half.
Yeah.
They had all kind of, I mean, they have some proof of concept, yes, with practice, but they'd never done it. Right. They'd never really done it. And, you know, I think, you know, while Patrick Kudus, like our friend Douglas A. Sherman said in the comments, he looked lost in the first quarter. I agree. I said that in the press box. I said he looks like a player who has not practiced or really played in full in over a calendar year. He got better, at least according to those who should know, like in that Manning Center that we talked to. They all kind of got better collectively as a group, which is what you should have kind of expected when you're replacing all but like two starters on offense. Of course, it's going to be a little messy regardless of who it is. And even then, like you mentioned at the top of the hour here, Austin Simmons on his first drive was 3 for 3 for a touchdown, you know? Yeah. So there's going to be some of that, and you're going to have some patience. At the end of the day, it was 63-7, and he's number 2 in the SEC in passing yards. He's right where you would hope he would be. If I'd have told you that at the end, you know, going into week one, blind resume, you're going to win 63-7, he's going to pass for 341, which is second in the SEC, you'd say, oh, dude, what a way to start. We pick it apart because you want Ole Miss to be a contender, and I get it, and he has to protect the ball against Kentucky. But, yeah, the bones are there for another team in a SEC and national football landscape that is wide open. Man, it's wide open. Ole Miss has is just as good a shot as anybody if all of those pieces, those upside pieces like Austin, come together as it did more in the third quarter than certainly in the first half.
Yeah. And look, before we get into kind of final thoughts from Lane Kiffin's press conference, I do want to remind you guys about our friend Andy Ludeke, myperfectfranchise.net, 404-973-9901, or email him andy@ myperfectfranchise.net. We were talking the other day, the franchise world, like anything in business these days, is always changing. So you got to be flexible. You got to be, you know, ready to move on the latest trends. Andy Ludeke is a franchise consultant. This is what he does. His services are free. And if you end up picking a franchise and working with him, then that's where obviously he works something out financially, helping you get into the franchise business world. And so if you're ready to ditch that corporate lifestyle and start your own business, be an entrepreneur, reach out to him, 404-973-9901. We appreciate Andy's support of Talk of Champions. Ben, final thoughts from Lane Kiffin's press conference. I know he kind of keeps them short for the most part, compared to some of those like 30, 45 minutes. I think Brent Venables goes for like an hour and a half.
Wow. Good. There's a happy medium, Bill. Yeah. There's a happy medium because happy medium. Just as they don't want to be there, a lot of times the people in the room don't really care to be there. We're all here to do a job, though, and that's to keep the spirit of this thing humming and getting the kickoffs and stuff like that. You could tell, like somebody in the room said today, like you could tell Lane was a little bit in one of those moods where he didn't really want to be doing this. So everything was like, I don't know. And then he'd go into his answers and stuff like that. So it was a Monday of kind of getting through it for him, but certainly real stuff to learn. And I think the Jalen Braxton news is obviously the most significant because he's such an important potential piece for Ole Miss down the line. But also he mentioned Luke Haas, the Arkansas transfer who had labrum surgery fractured ankle surgery in July. And we reported on Rebel Grove, kind of put it out there and broke that news that he was expected. Initially, the prognosis wasn't great, but he was expected to return sooner rather than later. And Chuck Ronsville, our running mate over at Rebel Grove, asked about Luke specifically, and Lane mentioned how hopefully to see him out there sooner rather than later, to say, yeah, I'm not going to tell you if he's going to be out there this weekend, but there's a possibility. And I think within the next couple of weeks, you could add that piece, significant piece, arguably the most decorated transfer piece on offense in the offseason, with a tight end group that really was crazy impressive in week one with Daquan Wright and Caleb Odom, not to mention Harrison Wallace. Caden Lee, everyone was asking, what was wrong with Caden Lee? Well, there's only one ball is what I would say. It had less to do with anything Caden did or didn't do. They ran bracket coverage to him, but Harrison Wallace feasted. It's a more balanced potential attack. You got a trigger man that might make some more boneheaded plays, but this skill group is really, really impressive. And that's what gives you solace as you head into your first SEC game against a team that ruined your season last week. Ole Miss is just as motivated, if not far more so than any of you that are watching right now. And even without that, you know, I think a first-year starting quarterback in Austin Simmons and all that new, and what you saw from the productivity standpoint with all of them, save for Caden, who you know is going to get his, it ended up being even better of a week one than I think we gave it credit to initially, because we were all panicking about some interior plays that were no doubt ugly, you know, and that second interception was horrendous, horrendous. He didn't,
yeah, did, really bad. Austin,
didn't account for the backside defender, double cut, just so bad. 63-7, second in the SEC. Like every data point, like Bill likes to talk about those data points, they're exactly where you want them to be after week one. And this Kentucky team, I think Ole Miss is about to go in there and make a statement very early on. I think they're that motivated. I think they're better than even we were ready to give them credit for. They're going to probably have a misstep, lose a game that they're like, how the hell did they lose that game? I picked Oklahoma because I just like Oklahoma. I don't want to listen to Brent Venables talk for an hour and a half. Like, I don't want to listen to my stupid self talk for an hour and a half. But like, I like John Matera. I like a lot about what they did. I think they're desperate, and that's a tough one on the road. And Ole Miss ever been Norman? I don't know. But yeah, like I like this team, and I think that this weekend is going to be an early statement, unless the oh god biting your fingernails situation has been every other year under Lane Kiffin, because this one, it's a big deal. Sneaky, really, just crazy important for a number of reasons, not the least of which, get this thing on the right foot. You know what I mean? Like, get this thing started like the way it's supposed to. Georgia State was what it needed to be. Kentucky, go beat that team and beat them by playing good quality football. Don't make a really boneheaded throw into the end zone in the red zone, in the red area. I mean, there's certain things where they can just improve. And if they protect the ball and do all the things that they're capable of doing, they're going to beat this Kentucky team, I think, pretty good and get their revenge. But still early in the week, and Lane certainly wasn't wanting to divulge about who might be out there too much this weekend, Jalen Braxton, Luke Koss, but both potential possibilities, I guess we could say, going into the weekend.
Do want to remind you guys about our friends at College Corner, locations across Mississippi. Make sure you click the link in our bio to shop online with our friends at College Corner. You get some discounts. You can check out all the things that they've got going on over there. Of course, that store in the Oxford Commons. Hey, go over there Saturday morning before the game. Pick up something fresh to wear. If you're not going up to Lexington, you can get something for your barbecue or just watching at home. You know, they've got all sorts of gear over there. They do a great job. We appreciate their support of Talk of Champions as well. But yeah, check out all the gear at College Corner, proud supporters of Talk of Champions. So
we need to give them some Talk of Champions gear, you know, and just say, hey, put it wherever you want to, sell it for a dollar. And you know, you can keep all of it, whatever. Just like get us some Bill and Ben's merch, you know, we're doing stupid faces.
Caricatures.
I'm saying. Well,
I'll make sure I have my hat on for the caricature. We don't need
the balding. Stop. At least you don't have ginger. Would you rather have your hair or my ginger hair?
This is actually a really good question. All right, so everyone, here we go.
There it is. Whew. No shame. It's still hanging.
Still hanging.
It's hanging in there. I'm saying.
I mean, you're a ginger, but it, you know, it's
pretty. It's auburn hair. I used to be told.
I guess the bigger question. You don't tan.
Hell no. The sun and I are enemies. No. I sweat in the shower, so I'm a fat idiot anyway.
Well, I'm a sweater too. Sweater too.
Like, I love the idea of the pool, but in execution for your boy ain't great. You know what I mean? And my wife, who's perfect, she wants to go lay by pool every single day. She's like, Ben, why don't you come with us right now? And I'm thinking,
you'd be as red as your hair.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to die. The sun is my enemy, you know, like it'll get me this time.
appreciate
old friend.
Appreciate Douglas for thinking we're great. But some people are throwing their computers out their windows right now. But look, we do got some recruiting news to cover. So this is a big first game for Ole Miss. I think they did a really nice job, rolling through their visitor list and getting the guys on campus that they wanted to have there for this game one. And I'm going to run you down a lot of the notable names that made it to Oxford. And, you know, the big one Ben mentioned, of course, you know, you got Emmanuel Tucker, you know, one of the best offensive linemen in the entire country, committed to LSU over the summer. The Tigers really made a nice surge there to get that one across the finish line. Of course, LSU kind of having the week, a really interesting week or so. They were, you know, losing Tristan Keyes and then on the flip side, getting a win at Clemson in impressive fashion, I felt like. And, you know, now they're trying to hang on to Emmanuel Tucker, who was on campus in Oxford for really half the day, coming over from New Albany to make that visit. You know, lines of communication are open here, and it's, you know, one that I don't think anything imminent is happening as far as, you know, getting him off of that pledge. But that's why you bring him in. You know, you keep working away. You never know if something's going to change as far as, you know, his commitment to LSU. You know, who knows? Maybe Brad Davis leaves and, you know, becomes an offensive coordinator or head coach somewhere. You know, those are some things that you could always watch. You know, I've seen it all when it comes to recruiting storylines and why kids, you know, might make a change late in the process. But when you see Emmanuel Tucker at least coming, that is a good piece of news, regardless of what he says about why, which was, hey, I wanted to show my dad, my uncle, a great atmosphere. Nothing's changing. I'm locked in with LSU. We'll see. A lot of schools don't let you do that. So that is where you can certainly make it interesting. If you're Ole Miss, just keep getting them around and keep, you know, swinging through campus and see if you get them in for another game this year besides the LSU one. You know, I bet you he's there to watch LSU later this month. But this is a prospect that Ole Miss has really prioritized in a big way, and they're hoping to get him across the finish line and flip him. But, you know, another nice piece of news, I think, out of the weekend was the amount of commits that came through. You know, you had your Ryan Murray's, you had, you know, JC Anderson, four-star tight end. They did a really nice job getting a lot of their commits back in town at their first opportunity that they could. But, you know, you look at this 2027 class, and it was unbelievable the amount of talent for a game like this that swung through Ole Miss. You know, Asa Barnes out of, Martin, Tennessee, goes to Westview High School, made the trip over. He's a four-star running back, had some really good things to say about the trip. We're going to drop a story on him later this week. But the biggest news was the amount of talent in the state of Mississippi that was in town. And that's Caden Moss leading the way, the number one player in Mississippi, according to the Rivals industry ranking, came through. And I got a chance to see him at Under Armour New Orleans, and he's a really impressive prospect physically. Checks the boxes you want as far as a offensive tackle. And when you see him in person, you know, you see why he's so coveted. And Ole Miss getting him back on campus was a big step in this, you know, building of momentum as the 2027 class really starts making a lot of these visits, a lot of these decisions about, you know, trimming their lists and things like that. This is where it starts to, you know, maybe make an impact as they take these college visits. They get to spend some time around coaches, and they get to, you know, start really being able to see up close and personal how these guys coach, how they go through their game days, how the game day atmosphere is in each college that they visit. And Caden Moss is going to make tons of visits around the country, but he starts off with Ole Miss. And, you know, the offensive line as a whole had a lot of guys in town. LaMarcus Jones was another one that stopped through. Antonio Berry out of Tupelo, all these guys have offers from Ole Miss. Codero McDaniel from Brookhaven, another really impressive, physically gifted offensive lineman, was in town. And this is where they need to right what is currently a wrong. And they have one offensive line commit in the 2026 class. They've got to figure it out when it comes to this offensive line class in 2027. Because look, defensive line, they're working on Ben Jarvis Shoemaker, you know, another Choctaw County kid. Randall Joyner working on him in a big way. He was in town, as was Jamarcus Pittman, their commit out of the Memphis area, who committed right after that summer camp this past summer. You know, Randall Joyner getting a big nose tackle committed out of Memphis, and he came back as well. Offensive line has to figure it out and make this you know, something where they can get on the right side of this whole, you know, recruiting effort and picking up blue chip guys. And this class right now could use a flip or two. And so they've got to figure that out late. I think that's really important to build through the high school ranks. You see it with Devin Harper and Connor Howes, who both saw action. Those were the two true freshman guys that got on the field for Ole Miss. Both played, I think, around 12 snaps, 10 to 12 snaps. Could be a little off there, but you know, those are the type of guys that are going to be building the future of your offensive line at Ole Miss. You know, that's what you need, is guys that are flips from SEC schools that you end up getting in your class, or blue chip guy like Devin Harper, who was a top 100 prospect. You know, that's where this offensive line is going to see a change over the next year or so, because next year there's going to be some guys leave, you know, the tackle positions. I think Jaden Williams is up. I think Diego Pounds is up. I could be wrong, Ben, but those two are up. Devin Harper, Connor Howes, those are two guys you got to watch. Terrez Davis, PJ Wilkins, and Delano Townsend, they all have 3 years. So they kind of recruited that position along the interior and addressed it, and with hopes of kind of fixing it up in that respect. So now this 2026 class, you got Ryan Murray out of Miami, who's your center of the future. He's an all-state wrestler. All of those things, those are all good data points. You've got to figure out the rest of this class to get a couple more guys that can really just elevate your room's future. Otherwise, you're going to have to go in the portal and grab a couple of younger guys again. And you don't necessarily want to do that, because you want to see the guys you already have develop and be those dudes next year. So it's a really interesting offensive line room, but man, they are working it, you know, like they are trying. I think they miscalculated how they wanted to do the 2026 class. They wanted to, you know, get six guys. You know, we had kind of said that early in the year. That was their goal. They brought in like 20 offensive linemen. They really kind of made it a whole thing, and they come up with one at the end of the summer. And so it's not great. That's not where you want to be. And they've got to, you know, change and tweak their approach. You need to come away with three nowadays, because if you get three from the high school ranks, then you can maybe get one more in the portal to plug something. And then that's four. Math is really hard for me, so I got to.
I was told there would be no math, but since I'm the New Albany guy and Emmanuel Tucker's from New Albany, I'm just going to touch on it briefly, because yeah, I've been talking to people about him specifically. It's every day I get asked about Emmanuel Tucker. And the real update is, do I think Ole Miss has a legitimate shot to flip him, despite what his public comments were to Steve Wolf on, which was essentially, I'm just going over there for my family. It means nothing. LSU is everything. Yes, I believe Ole Miss has a legitimate shot to flip him. Is it going to take real work from now until signing day? Absolutely, but for a myriad reasons, not the least of which communication breakdowns all over the place in that recruiting office for in-state guys, and Emmanuel wasn't immune to that. But also, even if they don't, I think he is a legitimate flip candidate, absolutely, from LSU. Having said that, Sam Hutchins from Clarion Ledger, he's been on this podcast, Talk of Champions, powered as always by Riverland Roofing. I'm in the Riverland Roofing studio, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. I can just roll it off the tongue now. I'm so good at that. All right, but Sam Hutchins, who's been on Talk of Champions from the Clarion Ledger, was in that Lane Kiffin press conference today with me, and he asked about maintaining relationships even when you don't, you know, get the kid, like with Kiwan Lacy, and then Ole Miss, when he goes into the portal the next day, he's an Ole Miss Rebel, how important it is to maintain those relationships, not burn bridges and things of that nature. And Lane offered this up, which was, I thought, the biggest takeaway now that we've gotten to this point of the whole press conference, when he said, yeah, it's sometimes even more advantageous to, or better to finish second, because he gets paid all that money coming out of high school to go there. And then the next year, you know, he comes to your school. And you don't have to, and he didn't say this, but you don't have to pay him as much, right? Like Kiwan Lacy, they got him for cheaper. And when he was ready to play, when he just spent his developmental year, is the nice four-star signed on signing day. He got, I mean, he maximized his earning potential. Awesome. But when it's time to maximize his playing potential, he made the move and Ole Miss got him at a discounted rate. And from the look of it, at least in week one, that kid's legit. That, like, I mean, this is this, like what you talked about. This is what Kiffin said afterwards. He goes, we didn't have that last year. He offered that up by himself. Go watch the post game. I asked him the question. I didn't say, hey, you didn't have that last year. No, that was coming straight volunteered from him. We didn't have that last year. He loves Kiwon Lacy. He talked about him again Sunday night. He said, you guys know how I feel about this kid. He's been talking about him since he got here. And Ole Miss got – they wanted him out of high school as a four-star prospect, and he went to Missouri, and then they got him at a discounted rate, and now he's their starting running back in year two. Who does that sound like? There are a lot of candidates, not the least of which – Emmanuel Tucker for an offensive line who will need a tackle next year. I think when Emmanuel Tucker, regardless, and I believe he's a flip candidate, a real flip candidate for Dante Moncrief and Dwight. I really believe that. Having said that, if he signs with LSU, I still think when he's ready to play his meaningful football, he'll be starting at tackle for Ole Miss. That's what I believe will happen. You're on mute for me, friend. You're muted. You're muted. I can't hear you.
Live television. We'll clip it. And we'll have it out there for people.
Fine. Yeah, fine. I'm a ginger. You never answered the question. Would you rather take your hair or the ginger hair?
Oh, man.
Admit it. You wish you had these beautiful red locks.
I think I'd rather have the beautiful locks.
Yeah. I think you could pull off being a ginger. Somebody that is adept at like Photoshop, make that flip. I would love to see my man with some ginger locks. You know, she's sharing that ginger burden with me. You know, it's a battle.
I love it. All right. Well, this has been a great live Talk of Champions, just about everything you can ask for. Ben, right before we go, quick pick, TCU or North Carolina tonight?
TCU. I actually brought up because like Lane offered, this is Bill Belichick's debut tonight, and y'all aren't asking about it. I went, okay, well, what about Bill Belichick's debut? He's like, oh, I don't know. But like, yeah. I'll answer for him. I don't think this is going to work. I really don't. I think it has absolutely incredible disaster potential. And I'm going to say that TCU is in – like, at TCU, there's no in-between. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
they're either good or really bad.
Yeah. So, I think this year, not they're going to be really good, but, like, I think they're going to be better than North Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, I think
they're game by game really good or really bad.
Yeah.
And I think tonight I think TCU wins. I've got them covering. I think it's 4.5 was the last I saw.
Oh, yeah. They're – wait, who's favored? Is it my – TCU. I'd take TCU to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So – all right,
I wouldn't with think that, twice about it. That was like I would feel best about that bet of any bet going into the weekend, and I still would have put my money on Alabama to beat Florida State. You know? True. And they look so unimpressive, Bill.
So bad.
Like Ryan Williams is supposed to be that dude, and I think it's now 7 straight games, it's multiple games without 100-yard rate receiving yards. I'm like, are we sure Alabama has like the fall has happened? Welcome to the dark. As Bain said, and Ole Miss fans will tell you, Alabama, welcome. You adopted the dark. Ole Miss fans were born into it. Welcome to the rest of us, friend. You know what I mean? Hate it for you. Oh, no. You might lose 3 games this year again. Welcome to the rest of everyone else.
Yeah. All right. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Embiid. This has been a live Talk of Champions. Shout out to everybody on Twitter and YouTube for joining us. Hit that subscribe, follow, or like button, and follow us at rebelgrove.com. Subscribe for just $1. Chat with us all day. We'll be on there. And hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Labor Day, and we will catch you guys next time on Talk of Champions.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.